Coming up on TMS, Rose by any other name would be a strawberry.
No, be one.
Yawn-splaining.
D's Nuts Chode Butter.
Shanter 64.
Guy in a hut who's good with a rock.
Loki is just a side quest.
It puts the lotion on its skin or else it drinks from the hose again.
Turtles all the way down to the butt.
Sorry, I stepped on that one. The cone of shame and the diaper of poop.
Checking out some dude's hose.
Flushing the detritus.
Semi-serious. Grandfather of Yahoo.
Wongvengers.
Long live J. Fred Muggs.
The largest, gayest person with Amy, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I am Japanese. My country manufactures the finest information computers in the world.
You know what I think of Nintendo? And he dropped his pants and mooned Nintendo.
The Morning Stream. It's a thing with stuff.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. This is The Morning Stream for Thursday, June 23rd. I saw the J.
You really want to put us into January. I don't know why, but you really want to put us into January.
I don't either. Look, if I could do the last 6 months over, would I? No, probably not. It's been an okay 6 months. It's been fine. We had a great time in Vegas. Why would I want to change that? I don't want to change that.
Yeah.
I had people with COVID around me and I didn't catch it. Why would I change that? Right. Anyway,
right.
Yeah. June 23rd, 2022. It's good to be here, everybody. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Good morning, Brian.
Hello.
All right. So a couple things to get out of the way here early in
the
show.
Let's get them out of the way. Let's just knock them out of the way.
That's right. Walking the dog this morning and had a thought. All right.
Okay.
She's taken her couple of poops.
I'm so glad yours does it outside the house.
Yeah, I do love that. And she, problems lately? Had a little
problems lately. Daisy is developing canine cognitive disorder, which is like the doggy version of Alzheimer's, basically. She'll sit and stare in corners and get confused easily, and you can just kind of tell. And one of the other side effects is just pooping in the house. And,
I didn't know that. How old did I thought she was a little younger?
She's 14. She is.
She's up there. Yeah.
Actually, she's going to be 15 next month. She's an old pooch.
Well, may she live long and prosper, and also poop less in the house. That'd be great.
I know. I think it's diaper time.
Well, they'd love those too. They'd love to have that on. And so we had a dog that was so old, we had to put a diaper on it, and then it would try to chew the diaper off. So we had to put a cone on it. And by the time we were done with that dog. Just a nightmare. I felt bad.
Like a suit of armor on this thing, a diaper, a cone.
Yeah, it was no good. But anyway, we're out walking the dogs.
Anyway, yes.
Rainer did her thing, and we're enjoying it. It's beautiful out. Great morning for this. Birds are chirping. Flowers smell. You can smell the flowers everywhere. They're just great. Anyway, having a great time. And then I just thought of something because we were talking. Kim and I were talking about secondary water sources and how they use that to water lawns and stuff. And we got in this whole conversation about, well, this whole strip of grass is such a waste. That should be xeriscaped. That over there, like there's so many little spots of like a strip or a little bulb of grass that people put in these neighborhoods that are just, it's pointless to have them there. Now you got to have water there, right? Mm-hmm. So we're like, oh yeah, and the drought and this and that, it'd be cool if they could figure out a way to spend less, you know, you spend more or less water than we need to and blah, blah, blah. And then it occurred to me, because I was looking at some guy's yard and I saw his hose. Mm-hmm. The question popped into my mind. When was the last time I drank from a hose? Like drank water out of a hose.
Right, directly from, like turned on the hose.
Yes, and took water right from it. And I think there's a generational thing here, and that's why I wanted to ask you about it. Because since you and I come from the same exact era, the 70s and the late 70s, early 80s, mid 80s, whatever, our kind of formative years, our growing up years, it was not unusual to drink out of a hose. In fact, at least for me, it was like, it's hot, it's the summer, you're with your friends.
Playing outside with your friends.
Right. Yeah. Go get the hose, turn it on, drink right from the hose. Who cares if there's an earwig in there? You know, you just drink it. And then I thought, well, I haven't done that since then. Like, since the 80s and 90s, maybe the 90s, I have not put mouth to hose. In that amount of time. And Jamie, I wondered if you have done the same or if you have recently like taken a big swig of hose water.
No, not in a long time. Certainly not like the Arvada tap water.
Yeah.
At least in our area, there is a very tinny taste to it. It's not good. Like we have to do, if we're drinking any water, we give water to the dogs or the cats. Then we use this filtered water that comes out of the front of the fridge.
Same.
Can't drink the tap water. Yeah. And because of that, I mean, I'm even trying to think of like when the last time I would have done it prior to that. And, it had to have just been, you know, the 80s.
Yeah.
You know,
when we were kids. So here's my thinking. I think there's a whole generation of people who wouldn't dare do this.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to think now, if I put myself in the position of some 12-year-old, hey, drink out of the hose, he'd probably go, ew, no, I'll go in the house. I'm not going to do it. Like he wouldn't, I don't think they would do it.
But what's the reason? You know, let's say the water tasted just fine out of the tap. You're basically, it's the same source, you know, it goes through either a faucet outside your house into the hose, or it goes into a faucet inside your house over the sink. It's the same source.
You're absolutely right. The only difference is from source to mouth is this long twisty tube of potential spiders and ants. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So like bugs are in there.
You don't just put the empty hose in front of your mouth and then go turn the water on.
Yeah, but I assume there's like an earwig or something in there that's just hanging on for dear life and then finally lets go by the time I'm actually doing it.
Yeah.
That's what I would always think. But like, I guess what I'm saying is I feel like it would be frowned upon today in a way. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's like a cultural thing, but I think if I was a parent today and one of my kids went, nah, I'm going to drink out of the hose. I go, oh, don't drink out of the hose. Like, I would be against it in principle. Whereas when we were kids, let's go. Freaking hose. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's for me, it would be less about the spiders and the bugs and stuff, but also, like, the bacteria from, like, standing water in the hose as it's coiled up on the on the side. So that, you know, turning it on for a while, yeah, it'll flush some big detritus. Is that detritus?
Detritus. That's right.
Detritus. Yeah. I did say it right.
I like
it'll
that
flush
word.
The big, you know, little critters out of there first. But if you've got standing water with bacteria, anything like that, then it's going to kind of swirl around and mix in there before it comes out. And so even letting it run for a while might not get that business out of there right away.
Yeah. See, that's gross. And I never thought of that as a kid, but I wonder. So now I'm going to go all Alex Jones on us and say that the reason you and I have not gotten COVID is because we drank out of the hose when we were kids. And it made us strong. Made us stronger. Might,
you know what? There's probably something to that. I mean, there's a lot to be said for the, you know, the kids who are exposed to everything in kindergarten and grade school and all that sort of thing versus the kids who maybe get homeschooled, who get some advantages in other ways, but then disadvantages in like only getting the diseases that their parents are nice enough to bring home from work.
Exactly. It very well could be. Yeah. So in commemoration of our discussion about hoses and hose water, I play this.
No sloppy hose.
No sloppy hose.
No sloppy hose.
All right. So there's that. I also brought a fun list. Sure. You like lists, right?
These I like lists.
Well, good.
Depends on what it's a list of. If it's a list of things you don't like about me, then I don't want to hear it again.
No, Scott. I only have one. I only have a list of one things I don't like about Brian, and here it is. That he's not here all the time, every minute of the day.
Oh, that Scott lives too far away. That's the only thing I don't like about Scott.
Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Like in studio, hanging out. Oh my gosh, jeez. I would love that. Kim would bring.
Hey, the Justin and Brian did it.
Yeah, you guys just saw. Well, let's see who has gummies and weed. Oh wait, I'm going to Colorado. Everybody, I'll see you.
Right, come on.
I'm going there. All
right. Wait, who's closer to Vegas? Ooh, I'll be right there, Scott.
Wait a minute. Yeah, like, just move us both to Vegas. They're solved.
There we go. Right. It lets inconvenience both of us. I think that's fair.
There's some really nice areas in North Vegas that I wouldn't mind living in, but not right now because it's all going for way too much money. But, you know, in a normal market, it might, you know, I could think about it. That's all I'm saying. Here are some weird facts I just wanted to share with you.
Okay. All right.
Last time you went to the dentist, you had, you know,
a cleaning,
typical cleaning, always watching out for that nerve, all that stuff we always talk about.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
Well, did you know that humans have been performing dentistry? Let me have you guess first. How long do you think a human has performed dentistry of some sort?
Hmm.
If you had to give it a
we're saying
year.
When were the first like dental tools created or you know, yes. basically somebody going in and looking at your teeth and saying, oh, this looks bad. I'm going to have to pull this out kind of thing.
Yes. That earliest of that, you know, obviously without some of the innovations we have in painkillers and things today. But
I would say, God, I'd go way back. I would say like 14th century,
that's a good long time ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have said that exact era if it were me, but I found out today that we have been performing dentistry since 7,000 BC.
BC, holy cow. Okay, I guess that in hindsight, I do feel like that was a really bad guess because, you know, you think of like 10th century and 9th century and the, you know, stuff like the Huns.
And some of this might be a guy in a hut who's good with a rock, you know. Like,
sure, well, a lot of it probably would have been. But holy cow, 7,000 BC, okay, that's impressive.
That's a lot. That makes it officially one of the oldest professions. So you got the dentistry, you got the hookah, okay? Because that they've been going for a long time. The hookahs.
World's oldest profession, as they call it.
Yeah, they do. So it's right up there with that. And the two don't really intertwine. All right, moving on.
All right. Hopefully not, anyway.
Did you know the very first documented feature film was made not here, not in the UK, not anywhere else, but Australia in 1906? Was,
You said not here, not in the UK. Oh, I guess you're saying, not here,
or
also
the UK.
Not in the UK.
Yeah, also gotcha, not the UK. Yeah, I wasn't assigning myself to the UK right then.
Not here, not in the UK.
Australia, 1906. What were you guys doing down there?
The first documentary in Australia.
Yeah, they don't say, they say documented feature film. So meaning it's the only one they can document is accurate, but it's not a documentary. It's a full film.
Gotcha, not a documentary. Okay, the first feature film. Really,
yeah.
Australia.
Yeah, would have been on,
Did it feature Yahoo Sirius's grandpa?
It did, with all the hair.
Semi-serious?
Yeah, and then they would have him mouth something, and then they would show a text screen that said, that's not a knife, this is a knife, and then they'd, you know,
right,
keep going.
Exactly, love it.
Shrimps on the Barbie and all that. All right, here's this. Ancient Roman surgeons, I love this one, were trained to block out the screams of human pain. They were trained not only to be a surgeon to go in and like, you know, take your kidney out, but they were like trained to like ignore the horrible time you're having.
Well, that's good, right? Because you don't want, obviously you want them to be aware of you being in pain, but you don't want them to be distracted and say, oh God, he just screamed. Oh, I just cut a major artery.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, that's good. I'd rather my doctor be able to tune that out and maybe the nurse be able to say, I think he's in pain. Doctor, let's give him a little bit more anesthetic there or whatever.
Sure. Let's have him be in control. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now here's one that blew my mind.
Okay.
I heard once that bananas are berries. Okay.
Yes.
Which blew my mind. Right. And I was like, are you kidding me? Well, I found out today.
Because technically their seeds are on the inside, right? Even though you can't tell banana's bare seeds, but
yeah. Because technically the banana part is the seed,
the peel, you mean? The
I don't know is
oh
it?
No right the meat of the banana is the seed,
is the actual seed, right?
Yeah,
so we're eating the seed,
right.
Is what
that's
we're doing,
right? Yes.
And the old ones were gnarly. The ones we have today are all like calm down and easy, but back in the day, freaking ancient bananas, dude, those things are a nightmare. It's like eating a shoe. All right, here's this one blew my mind. Apples, peaches, and raspberries are all members of the Rose family. And I don't mean, you know, Johnny Rose and his family in Schitt's Creek. I mean, like, you know, the flower, a rose.
Yeah, this was a Trivial Pursuit question at one point, and I got it wrong, and I had no idea. But isn't that crazy? That's totally weird.
Totally nuts. Here, this one also was weird. Canada, not the U.S., Canada. Wait, I got to play the thing because that's what we do here.
Canada,
or Canada, they eat more macaroni and cheese than any other nation in the world, including us.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Think of that. That's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
Yeah.
Like not France.
Yeah. Or I figured it'd be us because we're such pigs, but.
Well, you know, yeah. Right.
You know, I'll take it. If you guys want to have that one. That's fine.
Tally points out it's probably the poutine. it's that they have to put the mozzarella cheese and or the cheese curds and the gravy on everything.
Can you have mac and cheese kind of poutine combo kind of deal? Is that a thing you can do?
I suppose, right? Like cheese curds and macaroni pasta.
You could put anything in there you want, right?
You could, yeah, you absolutely could. I mean, you're basically going to melt it down, so it's just going to be cheese, but.
Very nice. All right, here's one that I love. I love this one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There is a geocache on the International Space Station that was placed there in 2008, and it has since been visited 4 times by other astronauts looking for it. I love that.
They have to pop out their little GPS thing and follow the path to get to it. That's crazy.
Yeah, they got to like figure out where on the station it is. I don't know how many of them know about it, but I freaking love that stuff. Does GPS work in space, or how does it, Icor asks? Yeah, I don't know, man.
It totally wouldn't work in space.
I assume it not. This is going to be like written instructions.
Global positioning system, and if you're not on the globe, then it wouldn't work. So I bet the crap they put in there is so boring. It's like, another screwdriver. Mm-hmm.
Some boring space
another
stuff.
Golf ball. Thanks a lot, Buzz.
Yeah, thanks, Buzz Lightyear over there. Buzz.
Buzz.
I guess it'd be Buzz Aldrin. And
I was thinking more Aldrin than Lightyear, but I hear that movie's not doing too well.
I heard, well, it took second place to, what's the one that's killing it?
Jurassic Park, still, even weeks later, is still leading, but Lightyear is...
Lightyear's better reviewed than Jurassic Park, though, that third...
For sure.
Jurassic Park getting tanked on the reviews, but the, I don't know, people seem to generally like
people
Lightyear.
Are like basically thinking, oh, I'll just wait, this will be on Disney Plus before too long.
That's what I'm doing. So yeah, I'm part of the problem.
Yeah, have you watched Doctor Strange now that it's on Disney Plus?
No, but I did. I'm so lame and out of it on this. I just heard yesterday that it was there, so we're going to watch it this week sometime, I think.
Cool.
Somebody complained to me. Jeff Delgado, an artist friend of mine online, said that he was bugged how clean everyone is in it. And he misses in multiverse.
Doctor Strange?
Yeah. He says he prefers how gritty and grimy and dirty and muddy everybody got in Endgame. Because he felt like the stakes were higher when everyone gets a little messed up. And Doctor Strange, nobody sweats or gets dirty, he says. I don't know.
I disagree. I think there is a battle in a dusty attic that absolutely, or a dusty, like a dusty room. I guess it's not an attic, but
sure.
I don't know. That's a weird...
It's a weird take, right?
Yeah. It's a weird take. Drench Wildfowl, you nailed it. It is a weird take.
Well, it's a weird take, but I don't think it's...
My superhero's dirty.
I mean, that's... I don't think it's that different, though, than saying you want your starship, your Star Wars ships to be banged up and scuffed and not...
I think it's a different thing, right? Because those are flying through space, and it's like, you know, there's going to be space dust and rocks and little meteors and flying crap and stuff out there all over the place. But... superheroes have the ability to clean themselves and wash their uniforms and stuff like that.
Sure. There's always somebody standing off to the side to give Doctor Strange a nice hot towel that he can just towel off his face. So,
exactly.
That's what you get.
Oh, my God. Are you going to be able to understand Doctor Strange without seeing Loki? Ooh, I don't know.
Am I? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I assume so, because they're not going to make a giant movie that's very expensive that you can only see if you've seen Loki. It's got to be.
No, yeah, you'll have no problem.
Or should I just watch Loki first?
Well, you should watch Loki anyway.
Okay. I mean, I get... I don't know why I haven't done it. I just need to sit down and freaking do it. I don't know what it is. You know what it is? Somebody the other day said something that kind of stuck with me, and this is a problem.
Yeah.
Because now I can't get it out of my head. And Brian, okay, fine.
I have a theory too, but let me hear your theory.
Talk me down from this tree. Here we go. They said, it was one of those memes, and I retweeted it. One of those memes of the guy sitting at the table with a big sign out front, and he's holding his coffee, smiling, and it's one of those prove me wrong or whatever.
Oh, yes, right, that guy, yes.
And it said, all MCU movies since Endgame are like finishing the main story in a big open-world video game and now just doing side quests you never got around to. And that resonated with me a little bit because you've had that big thing. Now, yes, they're going to build up to something new, you know, whatever the next big wave is. Yeah. But it's just a lot of side quests right now.
It is, right. It's, you know, it's Black Widow. Let's do a little flashback quest and Shang-Chi, which I still say, you know, I mean, so damn good.
I love that movie. It was great. Yeah. Yeah.
But it doesn't, you know, we just don't know how everything's going to tie together. Kevin Feige did an interview with the Hollywood Reporter last week and said, oh yeah, we've got a plan of what the end of phase four looks like that takes us into phase five. So
sure.
I'm waiting before I pass any judgment, but,
you're excited.
I'm excited. I'm always excited.
Like, so you know, sure you should be. You're a giant Marvel fan. You should be.
I'm a giant Marvel fan, yeah. And you know, and maybe it's because I, you know enough about the Eternals that I enjoyed that movie more than the audience coming in completely blind, or the
sure.
the you know, the Black Widow thing, or
I like Black Widow a lot. Oh, that was good.
Yeah, me too.
That was mostly you know, Yelena stealing the movie, but it was still
good. Really was. Yeah, for yeah, sure. And I'll then stole. The Hawkeye TV show again.
Yeah, came in there and made that better.
Yep,
I don't know. There's just so much of it. I think part of it is not fatigue, but kind of just like, oh man, all these
probably
side quests.
Is a little bit of fatigue too, though.
Yeah, I kind of look forward to when we get a proper Avengers follow up. You know, where
right,
it's just like,
right.
Who are they
exactly.
now?
Who
okay,
are
cool.
new? Are we going to get new Avengers? Is Captain Falcon gonna be leading a team with Ant-Man and folks like that, mm-hmm. or? Are they setting up a new Avengers led by Wong, which is going to be the Quicksilver kid, or the, you know, the speedster son of Wanda, yeah. The yeah. Wiccan son yeah. of Wanda.
Yeah, you're going to get Ms. Marvel
Hawkeye
in there.
Girl.
You got the little Ms. Marvel doing real good so far. She'll be
Ms.
in there.
Marvel.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff's super interesting to me, and so it's good to yeah. try to keep up. There's just so much of it. And
there
the Star
so
Wars stuff is like,
yeah.
hey, did you watch Obi-Wan? Yeah, I saw the first two episodes, and then I got behind. Oh, it's over now. Oh, well, shit. Okay, well, I'll get around to it, I guess.
Oh,
it's just a lot.
Watched the finale yesterday. So good.
Was
I really
good?
liked the finale a lot, yeah.
Was it Vader going, no!
The whole episode. It's 30 minutes, or 45 minutes, and what they do is, you know, he says that at the beginning, no! And then they cut to another scene, come back, he's like, oh! And then they go away.
Oh, don't make it better. That sounds great. I want to see that. No, I've heard really good things about the finale, so we're gonna yeah. we got to punch through that because we really liked the first two episodes. It was fine.
And sure. I'm excited to hear not just what you think of Ms. Marvel when you start watching it, but what Carter thinks, because it feels like this is just so right up Carter's alley.
Yeah, I've heard this. You're not the first to say that. Seems like it might yeah. fit her vibe perfectly. And people are just seem like they're just all I hear is it's delightful and wonderful and you should watch it and it's great. And so we'll get to that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, back to our cool list. Check this out. Let's see. Where did it go? Here it is. This is nuts because we brought up this yesterday, like longest running shows conversation that we had. Well, check this out. From 1953 to 1957, NBC's Today Show had a chimpanzee co-host.
Yes, they did. Yes.
I didn't know this. His name was J. Fred Muggs.
J. Fred Muggs. Yep, absolutely.
And it says he earned the network around $100 million during his run, however that works.
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, I don't know how he was incorporated in the show. I mean, I guess he's kind of like Kathy Lee Gifford and just sat there and drank wine for an hour. But, yeah.
Today's show. I want to see if I can get a picture of this guy.
Oh, yeah. Just looks like a chimpanzee. Make sure you're able to tell him from Willard Scott, though.
It's impossible. Utah connection, by the way. He was born in Ogden.
Yeah.
Willard Scott was. I don't see. Oh, these are just the monkeys on the Today Show, the band. Hold on.
Ah!
Let's see. What was his name?
J. Fred Muggs. Two G's.
J. Fred Muggs. Oh. Wow, what was the point of this? Just to be goofy? Just to say,
just
hey.
Just to be goofy, yeah.
Okay. Oh, and occasionally they'd have a second monkey. Here, chat, look. See? There's J. Fred Muggs, and then they had a little baby girl monkey there, too, and then they had all clocks on the wall. And this must be after the big news drops, right? They're like, all right, well, we just talked about the horrible war in Korea. Now let's just talk about monkey shit or whatever.
By the way, J. Fred Muggs, still alive.
What?
He's 70 years old.
What?
And J. Fred Muggs is still alive.
He has outlived two of the hosts that he was on the TV show with. That's
right.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. J. Fred Muggs. This is news to me. Just never heard this. But I kind of also love it.
Yeah.
All right. One more. See if I can find the one I liked. Let's see. Here it is right here. Oh, this is, I don't have any way to compare this to anything. So listen, Bobby, you in the chat, some other science minded folks, if y'all want to, like, you know, confirm or deny this, we'll give this a little scrutiny. Here's some scrutiny. An animal yawn. So when they yawn, you know.
Yeah.
Is, well, I had to explain that. Hey, Brian, you know,
thanks,
yawning.
Thanks for yawn-splaining to me, yes.
Sorry. All right. An animal's yawn is based on how large their brain is. The bigger the brain, the longer they will yawn.
Really?
Is that true? And if it is, citation needed. I just don't have a citation here. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
And then one you'll like. There are more Lego minifigures on this planet right now than there are people on this planet.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So they've made over 8 billion of the minifigs, I guess, is what
that is. That is insane. Like, that feels like, okay.
That seems bad.
I mean, there are way more in this house. I think there are even more versions of Thor in this house than there are people living in this house.
Yeah, there's more Thor per capita in Brian's house.
Yeah, in my house.
Than any other house. All right, tell me what happened on your lift yesterday. I'm glad you liked my little addition there. You didn't really pinch anyone's nipple.
Yes, yeah. I was expecting fur, but anyway. decided to do some lifting yesterday, driving lift for lift. I should call it that as opposed to like power lifting or weight lifting or something like that. And start out, nice little short ride, took me into Golden, and then ding, I get the little noise, and a ride has been added to your queue. It's like, oh, cool, which means, you know, as soon as you drop person A off, there's already a ride waiting for you, person B. You don't have to sit there and say, okay, when am I getting another ride?
That location thing, they tell you that it's like near where you're dropping off?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, they definitely always wondered about that.
That makes sense. You're not going to have you go cross town for another pickup.
Totally.
Whatever.
Yeah. They've done that before and it drives me crazy. Especially going from Boulder up to Longmont, which I had to do again yesterday. Oh my God. I took somebody from a shopping mall took somebody from Longmont down to the shopping mall on the far south end of town. A 90 minute drive. It cost them like, I don't know how much it cost them, but I ended up with like $50 out of it. And they just sat and typed on their iPad the entire time. I don't know if they were responding to email or doing what, but they were quiet. I just had my, I'll say this too, I had my music on. I figured out that I put on SiriusXM's chill station, which is down tempo and house music, right?
Yeah, I like it.
Because I find that it's not that it's preferred by everybody, but it's the least offensive to everybody, or the least, you know, you'll find less people complain about that than, oh man, 80s music, or 90s, or whatever.
It's, have you, like, had people complain about music before?
I've never had anybody complain about music, but I know that people would, right? Like, I feel like that stuff is just so aural landscape. You're hearing it in a freaking grocery store, dress barn, Starbucks, whatever.
And yeah, just nothing to complain about when you hear that stuff.
Nothing to complain about it. Anyway, so do my little short ride, takes me into Golden, get my rider added to queue, go pick him up at the School of Mines, the engineering school in Colorado. Mm. Pull up, and it's a guy who looks like he's been living in his clothes, his current clothes. Like, he's wearing blue jeans and they've kind of got that worn brown gray kind of look to it.
Yeah, I know the type. Yeah. Yep.
He gets in the car and I'm immediately hit with with odor, with
some serious bo,
some bo. Yeah. Yes, and all I could do is think about Jerry the whole time.
Yep.
And he needs a ride all the way up to Boulder, 40-minute ride up to friggin' Boulder, Colorado.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, geez. You know, it's like, I it's within my rights as a Lyft driver to say, I'm sorry, man. I'm going to drop you off here. You can get another ride. They probably won't charge you for this ride, whatever. but I can't be that guy. And I'm even like, I can't be the guy who says, hey, I'm going to roll down the window a little bit. You all right with that?
Yeah.
Because it'll be obvious that I'm doing it because you reek.
Yeah. You have to be like Kramer. You stink. You'd have to say.
Exactly. I just don't want to be, I don't want to be rude. So, we get up to, his location, and thankfully I keep a bottle of Febreze, like a little spritzer of Febreze in the car just for this sort of situation. It's like, psst, psst, psst.
Yeah.
And then the Lyft app says, you know, for every ride at the very end of it, they get their thing that says, was your driver a good driver? Did they do things right? And blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And so they rate. I'm still have a perfect 5-star rating, everybody.
Well done.
It's because of my EDM. But they ask the drivers now the same thing. They said, how was this person as a rider? Would you drive them again?
Yeah.
And for the first time ever, I clicked no.
No.
And then it comes to a follow-up screen and says, were they rude? Were they inappropriate? Did they leave a mess? And there's like, no, really wasn't any of those.
No. Other. It's a big other.
All I could do is put other and then submit it. All it'll do is basically just, give him a 3-star rating as a writer. And then it'll never match him up with me again.
Mm. That's good, though.
Yeah.
That's good because you don't need in your car. You'll leave a stain after a while if you sit there.
And I'm like, oh man, is he going to look down at his Lyft score and now all of a sudden see that his Lyft score went down and be able to connect it to me? And
I don't know. How does that work? I assume they don't. Assume they keep that stuff anonymous, right?
They do, but I mean, you know, if he only takes one Lyft ride yesterday, then he's going to pretty much know which one did it to him.
Some people can't. Some people can't distinguish between a napkin and their own pants. And I know people like this where it's food, it's dirt, I don't ever wash these.
I think it was a matter of he had not showered or bathed. I mean, you know, it's possible he was homeless. He spent $30 on a ride up to Boulder. So he's more than likely carless.
Did it all through his phone, I guess.
Yeah, right.
So he's got a phone. I don't know. It's just wild.
He's got a phone. He's got a payment plan. And yeah, I felt really bad and. Yeah.
Anyway. I would have now. So you asked the question, what would you do?
Would you stop and just say, sorry, man, you've got to get out?
No, I wouldn't do that. I would do exactly. In fact, what you've done all the way to the thing you submitted is 100% what I would have done because I think it's fair. In the moment you were a gracious host and did the thing I think is the right thing. So I would have totally done that. I think the follow up thing with the rating is totally fine too, but I think they should give you some granularity as to why.
Yes.
And that's not a you problem, that's a them problem. They should let you say, if you're going to say other, then let me just put in a quick word, hasn't bathed in a long time or something.
Right. Or right. Exactly. There's got, what is the right way? Like, cause smelly or give me like, what's the right way to put it? Unhygienic,
mm-hmm.
poor hygiene maybe.
And maybe chat room suggests, and I don't know, it could be true that this guy was like this, he's at some really physical labor job and this is how he looks every day when he's done. And who knows the reason
certainly
he
possible.
Needed to lift and couldn't commute cause his car's in the shop. I mean, it could be a million things, but I don't know, if I were him, I feel like I would be cognizant of how grody I am and that I'm going to be in someone else's car for a while. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to have a, if I'm going to do a Lyft or an Uber, if I'm in that condition, it's got to be some desperate thing going on because otherwise, why would I be like that?
I would think so. And you know what? Then this is a better way of handling it than, making them feel bad and that sort of thing. What Lyft should do is wait until he's taken 3 or 4 more rides. And then, bring, then do like the scores for his last 5 rides, right?
Yeah,
and say, okay, now we're going to average these out and attach them to what you got.
And then if they told you, you'd find out, he was a billionaire the whole time and he was testing to see who would treat him like crap or not because how gross he was. Maybe that's what happened. And whoever treated him the best gets $2.4
billion.
$1 million. Yep.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And Brian ain't going to get it now because he hit other. Oh, man.
Yep, I hit other. Exactly. I said I would not drive him again. Oh, well, I missed out on that million.
Oh, well. Plenty more millions to make. You'll be fine.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well done. That was great. And so what we've learned today is don't drink out of a hose in 2022.
Right? Shower, at least shower before you get in the lift.
Yeah, you know, shower before you get in the lift.
Not going to tell you you have to shower every day, but if you're going to be around other people, maybe shower.
Yeah, and also know that if you give, listen, men out there, or ladies, mm-hmm. When you give your significant other an apple, you're really giving them a rose.
Oh, right. There you go. See? Yeah. I got you a dozen rose things.
Uh-huh. Just a, it's cheaper, cheaper, but it's still in the Rose family.
Right, exactly.
I'm sure she'll be just fine with it. I'm sure it'll be no problem. All right, Red Fraggle, incoming.
Yeah.
Coming with the wrecking ball. We're going to get her in here. We're going to have us have us a segment here, folks. So stick with us while I push a button that I can't find. Here it is, right here. That music cues the inevitable moment where we talk to Amy, a.k.a. Red Fraggle, about what to read this week. Yeah, that's right. This is Read This with Amy. Amy, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, friends.
How's everybody doing? Doing good. How are you?
Super.
I am doing well. I want to take a couple moments. I promise I won't spend too much time
You're totally fine. You're all good.
So as people who are on the Facebook and the Discord and whatnot saw, I had a very tragic thing that happened last week that, of course, echoed back to previous tragic things that had happened in my life. And so that was really, really hard. And so I wanted to say thank you to everyone who reached out to me or even, you know, just commented and support. This community is amazing. And I just wanted to thank everybody for being really kind and when I really needed it. So that was really cool.
I'm very glad to hear that everybody did that. It's it is a good community in that way. When it matters most, people tend to belly up and do nice things, say nice things, help out where they can. And I don't know,
really do.
Kind of a rare thing.
It's a good community for that. It's a great community for that.
Yeah. So I'm glad also that you could have the time you needed to sort through some of that stuff. And we don't have to get into details, but,
yeah. No, rough. I really can't talk about details, but yeah. I will share a brief thing if I may.
Of course. So always.
One thing that kind of helped me through it, because, you know, when stuff like that happens, you know, somebody dies suddenly, especially if they die suddenly, violently, whatever, there's survivor's guilt. Mm. And, you know, I know a lot of people who, I know it's not just me, but this is my experience with it, is, oh, if I had just done XYZ, this person would still be with us, right? And so... Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that. And so I started thinking about, there's an old story that my mom told me years and years and years ago. A lot of people have probably heard this story, where there's a village that's flooding. And this old man is there, and the boat drives up to him and says, "Come on, man, we got to get out of here." And he says, "Oh, no, no, I'm okay. God will save me." And then, you know, the water rises, and now he's on the second floor of his house, and another boat comes by, and they say, "Come on, man, we got to get out of here." And he says, "No, no, I'm okay. God will save me." And then the water rises up to the roof, and then a helicopter comes by and, you know, tries to rescue him. And he waves them off and says, "No, no, God will save me." And of course, he drowns, and he's standing there, and he looks at God and says, "Why didn't you save me?" And God looks at him and says, "Are you kidding me? I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What else did you want?"
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I've heard that. But I heard that once when I was a kid, that entire thing. That stuck with me pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But the thing is, and this is what occurred to me this past week, and it was, I found it really helpful, so I thought I would share in case anyone else has experienced feelings of kind of survivor guilt, or I should have done more to help or save this person. No one hears that story and thinks badly of the boat drivers.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. No one hears that story and thinks, well, that boat driver should have gotten out and drowned along with him. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody thinks
that. No, they're just props in the story. They just don't. They don't consider that point of view very often. That's a good point.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, and it shouldn't be expected that, you know, we will suck ourselves down into an abyss to try and save someone, and we don't think that of anyone else. And so Wendy says this all the time in Real Steps, you know, being kind to yourself is one of the hardest things to do.
Yeah.
So that was a thing that helped me get through this week. That, and I have an awesome therapist. So
yeah, that's good.
Anyway,
I'm glad to hear all of that. I'm glad you had this, some of that stuff to fall back on. I'm glad Wendy's around for this stuff. I'm glad our community's here for you. This all makes me happy despite the horrible circumstances that require it. So
yes. Yeah. All right. So on to happier things in today's book.
Books.
So I know I'm late to the party because it's the freaking 23rd, but it's Pride Month.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So today's book is in that theme. And feel free to go ahead and play that clip whenever you would like.
All right. Here it is. Enjoy.
When I was little, my dad used to tell me, Will, you can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose. This seemed like a reasonably astute observation to me when I was 8, but it turns out to be incorrect on a few levels. To begin with, you cannot possibly pick your friends, or else I never would have ended up with Tiny Cooper. Tiny Cooper is not the world's gayest person, and he's not the world's largest person, but I believe he may be the world's largest person who is really, really gay, and also the world's gayest person who is really, really large. Tiny has been my best friend since 5th grade, except for all last semester, when he was busy discovering the sheer scope of his own gayness, and I was busy having an actual honest-to-God group of friends for the first time in my life, who ended up never talking to me again due to 2 slight transgressions.
Interesting. I want to know more about Tiny, the giant gay person. That sounds great.
Yes. So this book is called Will Grayson, Will Grayson, and it's written as a collaboration between John Green. I know nobody's surprised I'm recommending a John Green book, but also David Levitan, who is an openly gay author. And he writes lots of YA stuff, but also lots of very LGBTQ friendly gay stuff, you know. I think his first major book that got traction was Boy Meets Boy, and his stuff is really good, and it's a really interesting, fun book. There are 2 separate characters in the book, both of whom are named Will Grayson, and John Green writes for one Will Grayson and David Levitan writes for the other.
Oh, that's wild.
And that's a clever way to do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And they all sort of come together around this guy, Tiny Cooper. And so it's really, honestly, like, Will Grayson is kind of, as you say, like the prop. They're kind of the props in the story, and the real story is about Tiny Cooper. It's great, and it's as funny. The rest of it is as irreverent and funny, but there's some more interesting, a little more emotion heavy things going on in there. It's a YA story, so there's some teen romance, there's some love triangles, there's all that kind of fun things in there.
Yeah.
The styles of the 2 writers different enough that you can kind of tell as they're writing when it shifts, or?
Yes, even down to like David Levitan, at least in Will Grayson, his writing is almost teenage text speak. It's, you know, there's very little capitalization and things like that. So absolutely it is a dramatic shift. Yes. Yeah. You can definitely tell, this is where John Green is writing and this is David Levitan over here. Mm. So yeah, it's not Good Omens where it's kind of iffy which pieces are Neil Gaiman and which pieces are Terry Pratchett. No, you can tell.
Okay. Wow. That's interesting. That's a great question too. So, this is, for those who don't know, John Green's your Fault in Our Stars guy, right?
Yes, that is correct.
A bunch of other stuff too, but if you're trying to make a target of where you've heard that name or what you've seen before, that was the Fault in Our Stars guy who made everybody cry with the Fault in Our Stars. Is this is this thing make you cry a bunch, or is it a good, you know, good times as well, like fun, you know?
Oh no, yeah, this is mostly good times. I mean, like I say, there's a little bit of heavy emotional stuff going on in there, but it's typical teenage emotional stuff. It's nothing. There's nobody. You know, none of the kids die of cancer or anything like that. So,
whenever this comes up, I always think of that girl in 8th grade, not my 8th grade, but the movie 8th grade. Directed by Bo Burnham, that movie. Mm-hmm. And it's totally unrelated, but I just figured out why she looks so familiar. And Barry, the season of Barry, the girl who's like the young actress working with Sally on her show. That's the girl from eighth grade.
And interesting. So not the woman from The Good Place.
No. But like I see her and go, oh, okay. Like she's awesome. She was also in that Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake that came out last year or this year, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Side note there. So you say this is a YA novel, a young adult novel. Would you say, you know, old farts like us would enjoy it or what?
I mean, I did. And you know, I mean, you guys were kind of giggling at the front there. And so, yeah, that's most of the book. It's kind of funny. And it's, I think so. I mean, you know,
sounds like make a good
movie. I enjoy teen stuff. But yeah. And I mean, David Levitan has written many things that we all know. We just didn't know they were his. Like, for example, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist was first a book by David Levitan and then was adapted into the movie with what's her name? Darcy from the Thor movies.
I know who you mean.
The new girl.
Broke Girl.
Broke Girl. Yeah.
Kat Dennings.
Dennings. Thank you. Jeez,
yes,
Louise.
Kat Dennings.
Yeah, that's her. She's Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. Kat Dennings. That's her.
Yes.
Yeah.
And and he also wrote, this is actually really funny. And when I was researching for this spot, I learned this. He wrote a book called Dash and Lily's Book of Dares, which was then made into a little miniseries that came out on, I think, Netflix over last Christmas, and my daughter made me watch it because it's very cute and fun. But he's written a lot of stuff and he's done a lot of editing on stuff that, you know, people know. And he wrote a couple of, novelizations, which I don't tend to enjoy those as much. I like the other way around. When the book is so good, they have to make it a movie. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't really need to read a book about a movie, you know, like I already saw the movie, but I don't know. That's just me.
Do you watch, did you see this, the Christmas movie he made? So I guess he wrote a short story that got turned into a Netflix Christmas movie called Let It Snow, which also appears to be a young adult thing, 'cause it's full of teen kids playing these roles. But, that reviewed really well, but I hadn't even heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have not read that, but it's on my list because I think that John Green contributed to that one as well.
Yeah.
And that was a collections of short stories.
He seems to be doing just fine, this John Green fella.
Just fine. Yeah. Doing okay. Yeah.
He's
doing all right for himself, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm still mad at him for making me cry during The Fault in Our Stars, because I remember going into that going, teenage thing. This is no big deal.
Right.
This is going to be easy. And then I walked out going,
blubbering fool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did I ever tell you guys that I was in a little short film once?
No.
No.
So I'll post the link in the chat. So a friend of mine named Vandy Beth Glenn, who she was one of the first trans people who was fired for being trans and took it to court and won her job back. And so she made a little fun little short film about that, and I have a teeny teeny little part in it, but
where are you in this? What minute?
I am about bit more. Yeah, I'm
minute
the receptionist.
18 or yeah.
Like minute 19.
Receptionist. Yeah.
So okay, let's take a look here.
There's me. Yep.
All right. So we're walking through a hall. I got these two nice ladies talking. Okay, the hallway. We're coming to the end. Yeah, sorry, I must not be the right thing. We skip ahead. Oh, there we go. So that's Amy.
A little after a minute. Yep.
That's awesome. Look at you being all secretarial. I love it. Oh, man. You're like Pam from The Office now. I freaking love it.
Totally. Yeah.
That's great. I'll probably get a
tip. Oh, yeah. The best part of that part was like when the little guy was up there talking to me, he's being smarmy and trying to be funny at me. And I just kind of stare at him like, yeah, I don't want to talk to you or be funny with you. I want you to go away from my desk now.
You know what's throwing me is your hair. It was so long back then.
Yeah.
I know.
Weird.
It was. Yeah. I'm growing it back out, but it's still pretty short right now. So, yeah. But, yeah, so, you know, feel free. Go check that out. It's a hilarious, fun little video about kind of people's perceptions about trans people and there's a little funny commentary there about how, you know, cis people always think they can tell, and they're really often wrong. And, right. You know, the stuff that, that people say when they don't think anybody is listening. And, yeah, so it's fun. It's cute. It's a 10-minute little watch. So.
I learned some years ago not to do that anymore. Maybe 10 years ago, I remember seeing somebody and saying, I think that's a trans person. And the camera, whoever said, why? And I said, why, just isn't there, like, if they have a big Adam's apple, isn't that a thing where you can just tell? Like, I had this moment of like, I thought I knew the little secret trick to tell. Right. I was wrong. I was totally wrong. Yeah. And what's dumb about that is that my sister Wendy, who's beautiful and lovely, has a sizable Adam's apple. Sure. Has some other chode sat on the street somewhere and went, I'll bet that's a trans person looking at my sister. I don't know. There's a lesson I had to learn, you know? You have to learn these things.
There's a great Twitter account, and I can't remember her name right now, and I feel bad, but it's a trans woman who really often just goes on, like, the conservative side of Twitter and says, oh, really? You think you can tell? And then she posts pictures of, like, Gina Davis.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they're always like, oh, yeah, I could totally tell that you're trans. Like, look at your jawline. We're like, oh, my God, that's Gina Davis.
That's freaking Gina. Yeah. Are you not only stupid, you don't watch movies? What's your problem?
Yeah.
She drove off a cliff with what's her name and
Susan Sarandon.
Yeah. We didn't get to see how it ended. So there.
Right. And she does it frequently, and they keep falling for it. I think most recently she had pictures and it was pictures of Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science. Geez.
What?
And
what?
They just assume because she's got such a strong jawline that she has to be a dude.
Yeah. Right. Whatever. Yeah, and it is really funny to just watch her kind of troll these people. It's you know, I'm normally not for trolling, but that is really funny.
That's some fun trolling. My favorite trolling is Scammer. That Scammer YouTuber guy that
he's great.
Plays an old lady and these scammers freak out because he ends up getting money from them somehow.
Yeah.
And they get all mad. I'm actually worried about him. I hope he has like security or something. I'm worried about the dude. He's going to get targeted or something by some psychopath who's had it. I don't know. Anyway. Well, there you go. This is a fine recommendation, everybody. So if you want to go check it out, Will Grayson is what it's called. It's both audio and book form, wherever you get those things. Amy, anything else you want to mention before we go?
The Southeast meetup in September is still happening. So yeah, we haven't really moved forward on any other plans yet, but we've got the place booked and we've got plans all cooking. September and my husband Chuck are really kind of running that. I'm just sort of the person who keeps talking about it. So yeah. It's best that I don't plan things because I would make a mess of it, but they're good at planning things. Yeah. So they're planning.
Sounds basically Chuck is Kim and you or me, you're me basically in this relationship. Yeah.
Yes. That is exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that. We're all a team, everybody. It's all good. That's why you marry people that are perfect for you. All right. Well done. And it's always good to hear from you. I'm glad things are a little less insane than they were last week for you, but, continued good luck in that regard, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, guys. Good luck on your ride, Brian.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Do you have enough chode butter, or do you need some help with that? You good?
I bought an extra tube that I'm actually going to keep with me. I'll have chode butter for miles.
Great,
miles of chode butter.
He really can spread that chode butter out. Is how it'll be.
Oh yeah, it's like, what's the brand I'm getting? It's funny, it's something like DZ Nuts or something like that. Really? I mean, it is like there is no hiding what it is.
I like that. Just own it, just go for it. Right, like who cares? Sounds fine. If they called it chode butter, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
Let's see if I can find the stuff I bought.
Just get it on Amazon.
DZ Nuts.
Great. Taking an old Vine meme and turning it into a business. I love it.
Right. They're smart. Yep. They know what they're doing.
They do. We're smart too, but we can't be smart until we take a break. And when we come back, we're going to do a little call now with listeners. Actually, you know what we may do? We may just do the news. I might do that. You know what? That's what I'm going to do because we didn't get to any of it. So let's take a break. We'll do a song and then we'll come back and we'll have more. Brian, what song are we playing?
I'm playing a song by, you know how I always like to say where the people are from? Like, oh, we're going to, you know, Melbourne, Australia, or we're going to Nashville or whatever.
Sure.
This person is smart enough to just put it right there in their name. Leon of Athens is the artist today. They've got a brand new single, and they just appeared up at over at Bonnaroo, show supporting Arlie. They're going to be at Summerfest in Wisconsin. He just finished a tour with Yoke Lore, Shaky Knees, and Primavera Sound. This song is great. This is just some great pop, fit right perfectly right in with what we usually play here.
Nice.
The song is called Ripped Up T-Shirts, features hip hop artist Wes Period joining him on this. Here is Leon of Athens.
Hit me with electric thunder. I just want to feel alive. I'm running like there's no way back. And I don't wanna go. Cause every time I feel dragged under, you make a little spark ignite, exploding in the deepest dark. And I don't wanna go. High in every way, riding every minute on a runway, watching all the birds fly out of the cage. With every beat my heart gets stronger. Dancing in a ripped up t-shirt, dancing like a freak of nature. I'm gonna let you rip my heart out. Losing control. I don't need no nobody else. I don't need no nobody else. Ripped up t-shirts. Everybody's losing control. Make me feel like I'm on fire. Underneath this blood red light, I'm running like there's no way back. And nowhere else to go. And then you say my name like it's never been said. Feels like a chemical running up in my head. And I need the rush cause I want you the most. Don't tell me you got nowhere to go. Dancing in a ripped top t-shirt, dancing like a freak of nature. I'm gonna let you rip my heart out. Pull up in the whip with a whole bunch of girls in it. Hello, little mama, been a minute since I dove in it. Hella de-stressed in them, but you know them things are so expensive. Don't kill the vibe. Yeah, I know you wanna love me, but it hurt me when you lie. I told her, used to wanna see us, but now I'm dancing on my own again. T-shirt ripped up.
Algorithm felt it wasn't hitting the right taste clusters.
Hey, Birdum. This is the morning stream. Bye-bye.
All right, we're back. Please tell me once again who that was.
Will do. That's the artist Leon of Athens and a brand new single called Ripped Up T-Shirts.
Nice. Now, real quick, this thing I played. Yeah. Are you keeping up with the Commodore? That Commodore commercial?
Yes. Yeah.
Was that... I don't remember it playing in the States, and the commercial that followed it, because I just captured that little jingle part, they were all Australian. I need Australian listeners. Was that your thing and we didn't ever get it, or did I just miss it somehow? Because I feel like I was pretty tuned into every commercial that ever came on in the 80s.
Right, don't remember this one. And consoles and stuff, yeah, like that. Because it's for the Commodore 64, right?
Yeah, assuming? Commodore 64, which, you know, as far as where it played everywhere, or it played, where it sold everywhere, including the US, right. But I don't know if we ever got that ad. It felt like our ads were like Alan Alda or something weird, you know? Wasn't he doing that where Alan Alda's like, ah, computers,
but was it, what was it? Was it for the Commodore? I remember it.
It was Atari.
I remember George Plimpton for the Intellivision.
Yep. And oh, you know who did Commodore commercials? Here was Captain Kirk, freaking.
Shatner? Shatner, really?
Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm thinking of. Those. So Shatner 64. Hold on. That's a console I want to buy. The Shatner 64.
I played that on my Nintendo.
Here it is. I'll play one just for funsies. If it'll work.
When it comes to video games, nobody compares to Atari.
I find Intellivision more sophisticated and lifelike.
Gentlemen, move over for my friend Vic. The Commodore VIC-20.
That's what it was.
The VIC-20. Yeah. I'm thinking I find the Intellivision to be superior. That's totally got to be a play. I didn't see the guy, but it's got to be a play on George Plimpton.
Oh, totally, right? It's got to be. Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of him.
The way he talks and says, I find the Intellivision to be.
Hello. If you don't know who George Plimpton is, a lot of you do because you watched Aladdin as kids. And in the Aladdin movie, there's a scene where the genie, played by Robin Williams, does an impression of George Plimpton.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. I'd forgotten about that.
And I think a lot of kids love that impression but don't actually know who he's doing.
Where it comes from.
Yeah, I think that happened a lot with his improv because people are like, what? That's like 20 years my senior. I don't know. All right, let's get to some news here. By the way, the news is brought to you by what, Brian?
One last push for donations for my bike ride coming up the day after tomorrow. Basically, 48 hours from now, I will be 3.5 hours into a 5.5 hour, hopefully, ride. Oh my God! Thinking about that time frame, jeez, Louise.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Anyway, that if you want to donate, even $5, $10, whatever, we've blown away every goal that I've had. So you guys are freaking awesome. Go to tiny.cc/bikecoverville2022. That's all lowercase. Bikecoverville2022.
How is your aunt these days?
Amber. She's good. She's she has been working so much that she hasn't had time to ride. So she's going to do the 40 mile, quote unquote, short ride, 40 mile ride that takes place up in Fort Collins. So she's not going to do the full 150, but she's going to do what a lot of people would consider to be a pretty dang massive
ride.
That's
a massive ride. By any, I mean, certainly by my measurement, 10 is a lot for me. Are you kidding? That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So she's great. Saw her this last weekend. I rode from my house to their house, to Uncle George and Aunt Barb's house, which is 35 miles south of me. Mm. And she met us about a quarter of the way or three quarters of the way there. George met me about halfway, and then she met us about a quarter of the way.
Nice. And you said, hello, Barb, please turn your head while I reapply chode butter. Thank you very much.
That's exactly right. I said, I'm reinserting some chode butter into my chamois.
Oh, it uses a chamois? I don't know why that makes it worse.
No, it's called a, like the, I don't know why it's called a, like, chamois.
Yeah.
Because the actual term is chamois butter.
Oh, that's
or chamois cream.
Yeah,
but it's
for your
but
salami.
It doesn't use a chamois. I think that maybe that chunk of padded stuff in your crotch and on bike shorts is considered a chamois.
Oh, okay. So if you wanted, you could spread eagle on top of a car and shine that thing up real good if you wanted.
Certainly
to.
Could. Yes. Yeah. Jeez, Louis.
All right, moving on. Check out this story. Holy Hong God. Kong. I've been there. It's a cool town.
Uh huh.
Okay. Like it a lot. Recommend it. Yep. It's a very cool place, very clean. I liked it a lot. Anyway, Hong Kong's iconic jumbo floating restaurant capsizes at sea.
Oh, no.
Ew. Hong Kong's iconic jumbo floating restaurant has capsized in the South Sea of China less than a week after it was towed away from the city, says its parent company. The restaurant encountered adverse conditions, a perfect storm, if you will, on Saturday as it was passing the Zhishi Islands, also known as the Paracel Islands in the South China Sea. The water entered the vessel and began to tip, according to Aberdeen Restaurant Enterprises LTD. The company said no one was injured, but the efforts to save the vessel failed as it capsized on Sunday. As the water depth at the seam was over 1,000 meters, It makes it extremely difficult to carry out salvage works, it said in a statement. It said the company is very saddened by the accident. Let's see, almost 80, the ship, by the way, or this restaurant's 80 meters, 250 meters, or 250 feet, 260 feet, can't read, in length, have been a landmark in Hong Kong for over four decades. I remember hearing about it when I was there. Never saw it. Mm-hmm. Serving Cantonese cuisine to over 3 million guests, including Queen Elizabeth II and Tom Cruise. Not at the same time, though.
This thing is amazing. Like, how huge. I was thinking, all right, well, it's going to be a vessel that maybe holds, what, 12 or 20 people, and mm-hmm. let's them eat. This thing is the size of, like, a small Vegas hotel.
Yeah, it's monstrous. So to have that it all is. Go under, this none of this is good. This is bad.
It's and it's expensive. Funny, I didn't realize the actual name of it was the Jumbo. I thought that the headline was just describing it as a jumbo floating restaurant. No, it is the floating restaurant called Jumbo.
Jumbo, yeah. I remember we were there, we discussed doing it, but it was really expensive. And this really? Is like mid-aughts okay. or whatever, so it was really expensive at the time, and I'm sure it's more now. But boom, there you go, underwater. Fishes.
This is so totally going to set back the introduction of the flying restaurants like we see in The Fifth Element mm-hmm. back several years yeah. before they can.
Yeah, when that guy pulling up to, is that James Hong? That wasn't James Hong, was it?
No, it wasn't James Hong.
That was a missed opportunity. They should have made it James Hong.
Right. I said Lilo Dallas. I yelled, Dallas.
No one answer. I hang up. I love him. National treasure, that James Hong. 97 years old, finally got his star, his Walk of Fame. He deserves some kind of Lifetime Achievement
Which you had
Award.
To buy. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you still have to buy it. You're right. But give him an Oscar Lifetime Achievement thing. I was thinking the other day, there's so many amazing character actors that never get that recognition.
Yeah.
We should do that more. Character actors that have just worked the hell out of Hollywood. You know who? Like Stephen Root? Give that guy a Lifetime right. Achievement Award.
Stephen Root's a great example.
Look right. at never. His IMDb. It's insane.
Not usually going to be, or not, you know, not ever likely to be a leading character, you know, in the lead actor in something, romantic comedy or something.
For all I know, he's never been, I don't think. I think it's always been ancillary. But he's perfect.
Yeah, obviously.
He makes everything he's in better. I saw him again in Justified. Of course, he's on Barry this season. And last two seasons, he was amazing.
Incredible in Barry.
He's so good on Barry. Freaking.
So
what's his name? Not
yeah.
Shrewd.
So let's do this. Let's get rid of. Let's get rid of the Irving Forbush Lifetime Achievement Award 20-minute.
Yep.
Patting themselves on the back thing out of the Oscars and replace that with five Character Actors of the Year awards
yes.
or recognition.
Love that idea. More than just because all you do is you wait for him to die and put him and then maybe remember right. to put him in the ad memoriam thing.
In the memoriam. Yeah, exactly.
Freaking bastards. Yes. Hollywood, man. All right. Next story. In a pinch, you might be able to breathe through your butthole.
Okay.
All right.
Boy, pinch.
yeah, it's not a great term. I don't like pinch being involved.
No.
Says this, we generally don't like, this is an article on yahoo.com, so take it for whatever yahoo.com news articles are worth, but we generally don't like to think about the fact that there is a large worm-like organ inside of our abdomens. That sort of thing would usually only have to make peace with when watching horror comedies like Slither. I don't know why they brought that up, that's weird.
Yeah,
but it doesn't stop, I never saw Slither, that's a...
snake horror movie.
Yeah. You're right, but it's what's his name? Guardians guy. Guardians director, right?
Oh, really?
I think so. Like an early thing for him?
Paul Feig. Feig.
No.
No. Yeah, I know.
James Gunn, that's it.
James Gunn, yep.
Yeah, I never saw that. He wrote it and directed
really?
It.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I feel like Why don't we have this on our... look at that. Nathan Fillion, Elizabeth Banks, Michael Rooker.
Yeah.
Why have we not seen this?
I don't know. This is before he went huge with anything MCU related, but
why have we not seen this for FilmSec? Let me clarify. Yeah.
Yeah, we should watch it for FilmSec. Duh.
Yeah.
We totally should. Anyway, despite being among the creepiest of your internal organs, your intestines play a crucial role in your everyday life. Blah, blah, blah. We know all this. Getting all the oxygen you need. Let's see. Okay, so here's the deal. In the winter, turtles slow their metabolism and get most of their oxygen through their cloaca. I think is how you say it. In a process,
love the pause right before you're gonna, you know, have a euphemism for anus.
Yep. Yeah. I gotta, you know, we gotta emphasize the emphasis.
Sure.
It's called cloacal respiration. Other reptiles and amphibians use similar respiration techniques to breathe without using their lungs. So if you happen to be a mammal, however, it's like hard to believe this would work. But recently, some breakthroughs, Brian.
Okay.
So if you're in a pinch, let's say your pinch is I'm trapped in a hole, or a guy's got me in his trunk, or
I'm down head first in a in some quicksand.
Yeah. Yes. There you go. Your body's down. Your head. I mean, I think you're probably still not going to survive. But
no, probably not.
Let's see. That's where you got my arms.
How do you relax yourself enough to be able to breathe out of your butthole? I don't even get it. Like, what do you?
I could tell a story that I think will mark me, and I don't want to say. I don't want to do it.
Oh no! Now you have you set it up.
Do I have to say it
now? Yes.
Gosh dang it! Okay.
You can't. I'm not going to let you pull this, Johnson.
This is the era when I was putting screwdriver bits in my nostril to see how far it would go. Okay, so keep that in mind. We're talking like seventh grade.
Yes.
I'm bored on a Saturday afternoon.
You're far from that now. So yeah. Yes, we have a hard time imagining that there was ever a time that you would do that.
So here's what happened. I, for some reason, wanted to know. Okay, gosh dang it. I can't believe I'm saying this. It's, you know, that zone down there, it's an exit only zone.
Sure.
For old Johnson here. It's not interested in any other activity there. You know, it's right. It is what it's for. But I remember once in seventh grade, laying on the floor, once again, bored, and there's no screwdriver bits to put in my nostrils, so what else am I going to do?
Okay.
I decided to sit in kind of like downward facing dog yoga position. Well, I wouldn't have known that at the time, but that's kind of what it is. And I learned how to I learned how to suck in air and then blow it out again.
Through your butt?
Through my butt. And my sisters, who were horrified, can confirm this, because as soon as I figured it out, I was like, Misha, Wendy, get in here. You guys got to see this. And I would like, I figured out how to do it, and I could, you know, I could like.
Really? Did you have to, you didn't have to do any sort of manual manipulation, cheek manipulation?
No,
to
nothing
really.
Yeah, it was a weird, and honestly I think it may have been the only time I attempted it, because I don't think I ever, like, it wasn't like after that I was like, I can't wait at school to show everybody this. You know,
3 o'clock, there's the bell, time to go home and breathe.
Yeah,
and so suck in farts.
There's my very intimate seventh grade horror story. Hope you all enjoyed it.
That's hilarious. Somebody said Matuba said that back when we were kids, we called those farter starters.
I've never heard that before. Farter starters. So I wasn't the only
farter
one.
Starters. Apparently not. Like, yeah, a lot of people.
Well, that's always true, right? You're never the only one doing a dumb thing. Someone
who said that they've done this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But it wasn't like, you know, it just was like, oh, no way, I can make my own farts. It was just like this moment of discovery.
Like recycling is basically what you're doing.
It's kind of what I was doing. Exactly. I was helping the environment, Brian. Don't let anyone tell you different.
Very good. Excellent.
French's has unveiled Canada! There it is. Next favorite summer treat, the ketchup-flavored ice pop.
Mm. Ooh, oh, I don't know about that.
Mm. Well, I know I would probably try it, but I ain't buying these. No way.
No.
Let me put them up on screen. So
I mean, I try. You know what? Let me rephrase that. I would try it for the show. And you've had V8. Tomato juice,
I
right?
love V8.
And you like that cold?
Yeah, I love it. Had one this morning. Had a spicy V8 this morning. Mm.
There you go. I don't think this would be that far away from that. I know it's ketchup versus V8, but
yeah, I tend to agree. I think it would be okay. We'd try it, and then if we hated it, we'd never have to do it again.
That that Lewin's ice cream, or whatever the name is, the unusual name, they've got a Grey Poupon flavored ice cream. That so that you could have your mustard ice cream and your ketchup popsicle.
Yep. Let them melt together and then dip your corn dog in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it says here, these French is known for its iconic tomato ketchup, have unveiled a very questionable summer treat, they call it, unless maybe you're Canadian. The French Sickle, a ketchup flavored ice pop created by French's, the condiment maker, was released as a summer snack for a limited time only. So Canadians, get in there. I never, get it done.
Do you connect French's with ketchup? I only connect them with mustard. Same. So French's makes ketchup too?
They do, but I only think of mustard. You're right. We have either we're less exposed to them as a brand, like we all have Heinz or whatever.
Maybe in Canada, French's does both.
And you guys do ketchup everything up there. They put on like potato chips and, you know, they flavor stuff with ketchup all the time. And ketchup has a big sugar content. So maybe that's what makes this tolerable. I don't know.
Maybe.
Anyway, here's the catch. You have to trek to the Great White North to get them. So if you want them, that's the best you can do. It's currently available in Vancouver, British Columbia, Toronto, Ontario, and Leamington, Ontario. It will be there till June 24th, so you've only got a day. Your condiment just got a lot cooler, says French's on a social media post. I love creating treats that appeal to Canada's diverse tastes, says Happy Pops founder Leela Keshavi. I started Happy Pops to bring all natural... handcrafted flavor to Canadians. So French's locally grown ketchup is a perfect pairing. Hold on. Locally grown ketchup. I guess tomatoes.
Ketchup, tomatoes.
Okay. Yeah. It seems like you'd say they're, I don't know. It makes it sound like
ketchup made from locally grown tomatoes, right?
Yeah. I think I'm supposed to assume it, and that's probably right.
Sure.
Anyway, if a Canadian has these and then we'd like to freezer box them to us, we'll eat them. But that sounds really expensive, so don't do it.
That's a very expensive proposition, but we would totally do it.
We would totally do it, but I don't want you to spend that money. So unless you're like loaded, you know, you're like Mike Myers living in, you know, Canada or wherever, whatever. Some famous Canadian has all the money in the world.
Justin Timberlake is getting ready to send these to us.
I always forget he's Canadian. He is, isn't he?
And but I'm sure he lives in California.
Did he really bring sexy back, though? Can we hold him?
I think he did.
Did he?
I think he did it, in a big way.
Okay. I mean, not just Janet Jackson's nipple, I mean. More than
that. I'm sorry. Not Justin Timberlake. Justin Timberlake was born in Tennessee. Justin Bieber.
Bieber.
Was the Canadian
okay.
Justin.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I knew that. Yeah. But it's easy to mix, you know, whatever. They're all heartthrobs and it's got to be May and all
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Thousands of
chat room did not. Nobody corrected me. Thank goodness on that one. I'm thinking Justin Timberlake. We all think, Justin Timberlake is nice. He could be Canadian.
Sure. He seems nice enough. He seems all right. Yes. And there's probably some story I don't know about. Keep your emails to yourselves. All right.
Right.
Thousands of penis fish. I love today's news. Washed up on a Californian beach. I don't know why it doesn't just say California beach, not Californian beach. Why?
It's a beach that belongs to California. It's a Californian beach.
Californian.
Oh, my God. Look at these things.
Yeah,
it's
they
like
look
I'm
like
watching, what's that TV show, Big Mouth?
Mm-hmm. It is like that. You know what else it's like? It's like those mukbang eater ASMR people.
Right.
They eat these things. This is a delicacy in some parts of the...
Holy cow. Yeah. Wow.
Some of these 10-inchers, they can grow up to be 30 centimeters in length. That's how big they can get. Apparently have been disturbed, picked up from their quiet life, and strewn across the beach as far as the eye can see. And people are stoked about it. They're all running around taking pictures. This thing's also called the fat innkeeper worm. I don't know why.
Yeah, but only by the people who just don't want to say penis fish.
Yeah, that's a good point. Why wouldn't you? Let's see. I had no idea what they might be. It went on for 2 miles, says David Ford, a local resident who was out there checking these things out. Just to make you feel a little more sick, he says, I walked for another half an hour and they were scattered everywhere. There were seagulls lined up on the beach the whole way, having eaten so much they could barely stand.
there's a great joke in there somewhere. Right?
Yeah. Would you eat one of these? Like Asia. It's a delicacy in some Asian countries.
I imagine, you know, if it was served as a sushi, like, you know, in a roll or something, probably.
Yeah, why not? Little penis fish never hurt anybody.
I don't think I'd want it to look like this when it's on my plate. Like, basically, you know, fillet it, deep fry it, something, but... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't have it in that shape.
Not in that shape, yeah.
Cut it up in little circles.
Nope, I don't want the D fish.
I don't want the D fish. That fish is a real D fish. All right, moving on. We're done with email. That's going to do it for the show, everybody. My sister should be back in a couple of weeks. I'm not sure if it's next week or the week after, but she is enjoying some time out with her family in parts of Europe. So Scandinavia, if you will. It's probably a little weird over there because Finland's right next door to, well, both Russia and, you know, how's it work over there? They're next to,
I mean, it's, close to Russia and Ukraine. Yeah.
Yeah. Ukraine's butted up against them, I guess. And they were, and Russia was all pissed at them because they just signed the NATO. They got into NATO against Putin's wishes. So I was like, oh, you really want to go there right now? It just seems like they're a little targety.
Aren't they separated by the,
they have a border with Russia. I know that.
They do. Their northern border, right? Yeah.
Border. Let's see here. But, you know, like, I'm sure it's fine, and they haven't done anything. They haven't followed through. Oh, yeah, here it is. Russia sends nuclear-capable missiles to the border with Finland. See, they're...
Oh, yeah, they do all along. I did not realize that, that their whole eastern border is Russia.
Things could get nuky, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want things to get nuky. We can help it. Right. All right. World problems aside, we wanted to thank all our patrons for supporting the show. Patreon.com/TMS. Big thanks to everybody for doing it. The show doesn't exist without you, so your continued support means everything for us and the morning stream. Gigantic thanks to all of you. It's still time to get in before the month ends. Next month, brand new stuff, of course. And there's plenty of reasons why you should join. Just go read about them at patreon.com/TMS. For all other inquiries of any kind or sort, you can find them at frogpants.com/TMS. That's what I meant to say. And if you'd like to email us, you got a problem, you got a happy thing to tell us, you're mad, whatever, themorningstream@gmail.com. Okay, excellent. Brian, before we go, any programming notes? No Coverville today because you're riding, right?
No Coverville today. No Guess the Connection tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going on a long ride today. 25 miles plus today just to be the last big ride before the – or really the last ride before the big ride. And so, yeah. Oh, I'm also going to be a guest on the Pokemon Go podcast tonight for their special 301st episode.
Oh, my. 301.
Because I was – 301 because I was, you know, a regular on there for a long time and celebrating 301. Really, they celebrate 300, but I was at the concert last week.
Oh, okay. It's still an iconic number. It's cool.
It's still an iconic number, yeah.
You should have waited till 311 and then worn something with amber in it.
It would be the color of my energy.
Yeah, the color of your energy would have been the amber color, yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, well, that'll be good. Watch for that. Film Sack this weekend, it's in the form of a watch-along. We watched Baywatch. And we'll be putting that out. Why? Well, because Brian will be gone. So not a normal Film Sack this week, but we do have content for you. And there will be Dungeons this weekend. And I'm Core tonight. Big Core coming up. Check it out. Core tonight. We got Core. Core's great. We love Core. So be there for Core.
Yeah.
All right. That's at 5 o'clock tonight if you want to be there live. All right. That's it. Let's get out of here. We need to play a song. What do you got?
Annette Moss wrote in and said, happy birthday to my wonderful husband, Devin. Maybe I'll buy you a Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
Oh, I think that's a cue.
So two clips.
Let's see. Hold on here.
Troublemaker.
That's not it. Here it is.
It's a Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
What was the other one?
Birthday. Just that.
Birthday. Just the birthday. Okay, here's that.
Happy birthday to you.
Well done.
I love that one. Yeah. She says, anything by, any covers of or by the band Rush? Well, no problem. Rush, several years ago, almost 20 years ago, released an album called Feedback, where they covered a lot of the artists that influenced them growing up. Speaking of Canada, one of those bands was the Yardbirds and a song called Heart Full of Soul. Here is Rush from Feedback covering Heart Full of Soul.
Get hot and lonely, deep in dark despair, thinking one thought only, where is she, tell me where. And if she says to you she don't love me, just give her my message, tell her of my plea. And I know that if she had me back again, then I would
she'd have me back again. That I would never make her sad. I've got a heart for a soul. She's been gone such a long time, longer than I can bear. But if she says she wants me, tell her I'll be there. And if she says to you, she don't love me, just give her my message, tell her of my plea. And I know that if she had me back again, that I would never make her sad.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I have a good excuse. I'm part gay.
Oh, happy Pride Month, everybody.